going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Man, it's crazy. 1 minute you don't even got a dream to go to the NFL. Next minute, you hear a Buffalo Bill. No, it's just surreal. Hearing my name called, getting that phone call, just the emotions were everywhere.
Bills second round draft pick TJ Sanders on being drafted by the Buffalo Bills as we welcome in Mike Catalana, 13 Lamb Sports. Buffalo Plus, good with his time to break down the NFL draft. And Mike, if we may, let's start with the reaction from Brandon Bean to some criticisms. And I don't even know that you would say it was a criticism as much as it was just an observation that the Bills didn't select a wide receiver until late in this draft with their seventh round pick there in Caden Prather. Do you have a reaction? I mean, Brandon Bean is somebody who always feels like he's generous with his time when it comes to, you know, meeting with us in the media, and also a guy who, this feels out of character for him. This reaction that we heard today feels like, or maybe it's more his character and what he does for us in the media is more, you know, a sheen that he puts up to kind of prevent that character, that competitive nature from coming out more often.
Oh, my bad.
Competitive guy. I get all that. I think he was a little aggressive in his defense of what this team has done. And listen, I was listening to the show and on WGR. I was listening to them talk about the draft. And I think, listen, this is what happens. I think Brandon caught the end of what they were talking about when they were referring to the wide receivers. And then he kind of went off on the fact that people are critical of them not bringing in more wide receivers. And they didn't draft one until the seventh. Listen, they have not invested in the draft in wide receiver at all. When you look at it, you've got, look what you've got in the team. Shakir, who is a fifth round pick, right? And Coleman, who is a second round pick. Coleman is the only guy above the fourth round that they've ever drafted since Josh Allen has been there. And Coleman was okay last year. They hope for more. And then you put a number one pick in and took a tight end, and he's been okay. They're hoping for more. Last year we thought maybe they're going to double dip and take another receiver in a deep receiver class. The only one they took was Keon, and like I said, he's got a lot to prove. This year, other teams took wide receivers. I mean, listen, the Chiefs, if they're healthy, they're getting a lot of their guys back to go with Worthy. And, you know, they're getting, maybe they get Rice back healthy this year. And they went and took a wide receiver that a lot of people thought the Bills would take. So they don't take them. Josh was awesome last year, wasn't he? He was great. But part of the reason he won MVP is because he did so much with what most people perceive as a lesser wide receiver room. He was really, really good. He's incredible. But, man, wouldn't it be nice to give him a little more help to make it a little easier? Wouldn't it be nice to give him, not even has to be a number one, a guy who can do more? Look what he did with Mac Hollins last year. So I thought listen, I'm all for Bean drafting defense. They needed to draft defense. They needed an influx of talent on that D-line. They needed help in the secondary. I'm for all that. But at some point earlier, I'm kind of with him. I would have liked to have seen another wide receiver in the bunch.
That run on defense here, first four picks for Buffalo. You know, you're going for size there. Heck, it was the first five picks before you actually got to Jackson Hawes in round five. Mike, you look at these, and whether it's Landon Jackson or T.J. Sanders, which veteran with all these picks was put on notice, would you say?
Well, I mean, look, at some point, I think they want to move on from Daquan. And I don't know if it's necessarily put on notice because he's going to be, you know, based on his contract, I think he's going to be on the roster. But he's getting older, and I don't think they've gotten as effective a play as they wanted. So I would say if you look at it that way, they're looking for his replacement. Now, if one of these guys, whether it's playing more of that true, you know, next to the center, one tech, as they call it, type of player, then you could say it's on him. But I think, you know, on notice, I would say, you know, a little bit of Dwayne Carter, who's there. And it's like, hey, they drafted a few tackles. Like, you got to be ready to play. I don't necessarily think it's Ed Oliver based on them re-upping his contract. I mean, they still think highly of Ed. And I think they need to put talent around him. But I do like that they took multiple swings. Like, I'm not sitting here saying they didn't need it. They have failed on the D-line, right? They constantly are drafting there. And, like, they've had to sign free agents, you know. They brought in, you know, Leonard Floyd. And then they bring in now Bosa. And they're hoping Epinesa works out, you know, and they re-sign Rousseau. But they've taken a lot of swings on that D-line, obviously Von Miller. And it just hasn't worked. That line hasn't been good enough. So I get all that. But I think in general, if you look at it, and they brought in Hoyt, right, Ogunjobi, like, they brought in a lot of guys. So almost you could say everybody's on notice, but I don't think specifically as much this year because I don't think Daquan is going anywhere.
What was your take on the fourth round pick? Because prior to them selecting Deion Walker, the defensive tackle out of Kentucky, I was like, I think the Bills are allergic to size. The guys that they go after all seem to have a type. They want, you know, yes, tall, lean, lanky, you know, good with their hands. But, you know, when you see this team get gashed in the run game defensively, you wonder, like, when are they going to get a big space eater in the middle of that line? And I see Walker in the fourth round. I'm like, okay, maybe that's somebody that can plug that hole.
I do like that. Look, and I think that's when you use that resource. Because let's be honest, if there's somebody that big and that good of a run stopper, and he's a three-down player for you, then he's a bit of a unicorn. There are not that many guys like that, right, that are just that big and that strong and that fast and you can play in three downs. But there are guys in this league that have made a living on doing that for the first two downs. And really, and you know, Bean made the point today of saying, by the way, teams can throw on first down too. Like, you do need skills. You do need to be able to pressure from the inside. But I think that was about the appropriate use of a resource there. Fourth round, maybe even fifth round, where you go for the big, big. He is big. He's a massive player. So that size alone is a good thing. You are right. They always go for a type. I mean, we know they switched up in round one this year because that's what stunned me about the pick of Hairston was that's not their type. It's not the same height. It's not the same tackler. It's a different type of player. But like you said, they needed size. They needed speed, too. Yeah. You need speed on a defense, and they added it there. So size and speed in those two picks, I'm all for it because they needed both of those things.
Hairston, sooner or later, is going to be corner two. Well, if not, if something's gone wrong. With that being said, Mike, have we ever, like in recent years, had a time where going into camp, and maybe there's one that's not obvious, but is there a camp battle? Like, it seems like everything, at least it's going to be a rotation or you know who the guy is going to be.
Oh, no, I think there's battles going on. I do, especially in that case, like, I guess you could still say, you know, Damar Hamlin and, you know, Bishop in the secondary. But listen, that's an indictment on Bishop if he can't beat him out this year. And just like you said, on that D-line, like, they're bringing in a lot of guys. There's a fight for playing time. Like, I don't know what happens with A.J. Epinesa. I mean, he was I guess you'd say a starter there. Now they brought in so many guys, you would expect Bosa to be the guy. And I think if somebody excels, could be Dwayne Carter this year. Like, you don't know how it's going to play out. But I would say I think they want that competition. And then you have to add into the fact that a guy like Hoyt is going to be out, and Ogunjobi too. They're both going to be out for 6 weeks. So it's almost like a competition and then maybe something else later on. But certainly at corner, look, if you're penciling it in right now, like legitimately in that room, I say Trey White is the starter, only deference to a veteran. But you know, and I know, and everybody knows, they want the rookie to win that job and start, you know, on the opposite side of Benford. So, but that'll be it's a competition to see if this kid is ready to go. Eventually, he's going to get the job. It's just a matter of when.
So, Mike, what were your first impressions of him from Friday, Max Harrison speaking to the media, but then also just, you know, leading into the draft? We know you liked Amos, and we saw him go later, I think, in the second round. But Harrison, and kind of like to our larger point here with these draft picks, it feels as if more and more teams are drafting traits, not necessarily players. And you mentioned the trait that's jumps off the page with Harrison, it's that speed. But also, man, I got a lot of like Trey White vibes from him. Like he comes off to me as a person who's much like Trey White was when he was drafted by the Bills, has a spark and energy, a personality that I think will play really well with this team.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's funny that, you know, now he's sort of competing with the return of Trey. And I used to always think like Trey, he started opposite of Levi for a good portion of his time. And look at the difference between the two. Personality-wise, one was a number one pick. One was an undrafted free agent. One talked all the time where one never said a word. Benford is kind of that way. The sixth-round pick on the other side doesn't talk a whole lot. And then this kid may very well be the starter. You talk about his speed. I think his speed is great, but there is straight-line speed. He runs the 40. We all know that he's very fast that way. He does have great reactions, not just jumping routes. He does seem to have good instincts, and he also recovers on the ball pretty well. He's got to make up for it. It's typical that, you know, he's a shorter player and lighter. So I think not only is his speed, but he better know what he's looking at. He better be studying the film because he doesn't have the physical size. And I think he's, you know, he's a small player, smaller player, even on the college side, and he's survived that way. So, yes, I think they feel he's that guy. He carried himself very well. And let's see how he looks when they get him out on the field.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
13 Wham, Buffalo Plus, Mike Catalana joining us here in the Sports Bar. In regards to the fifth round pick, corner Jordan Hancock, and Mike, yeah. I'm interested to see how the Bills use him. Is he simply going to be the understudy to Taron Johnson if he shows some things? Do you subscribe to the theory that, hey, Johnson's so good that maybe he slides over to safety and you're giving more to Hancock? What do you think of that first pick there in the fifth round by Buffalo?
Yeah, I don't think Taron Johnson's moving to safety. I guess anything could happen, but I don't think you're taking him out of his best spot and moving him back there. Maybe at some point that would happen, but I don't think so. And I don't think the way this defense plays that he's coming in to compete to be the backup to that spot. I don't see Taron Johnson going anywhere. I mean, look, they base their whole defense on Taron, you know, being out there in that slot position as basically their base defense. So I don't see that changing. I think the guy you might want to look for to make an impact is Dorian Strong. I liked him coming out of school. Actually, when I looked at his measurables and the way he was, I thought he was the type of player that could someday convert to a safety. But they seem to really like him. They think he can play on the outside. I read a couple of the analysts who thought he could be a guy that surprises a lot of people coming into to his rookie year. So let's see how it plays out. But I think with every other change they've made, I think they're still pretty comfortable with keeping Taron where he is in the slot.
We're talking to Mike Catalano, 13 WHAM Sports, Buffalo Plus in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on the Fan Rochester. We started our conversation talking about the Bills waiting until the seventh round to take in a wide receiver. They bring in today for a visit Elijah Moore. And also, Mike, I think it's notable that there's one, two, three, four. There's more than a handful of undrafted free agents that will be coming to camp that the Bills have agreed to join up with the team as well. And I don't think that's a zero as well. Do any of these names that are undrafted guys jump off the page at you? Were there anybody in your prep for the draft that you saw or that you heard of that you thought, oh, if they go undrafted, that would make a lot of sense for Buffalo?
No, there's nobody that really stood out to me. But then again, you know, they'll come out. You know, you'll see those guys. We'll be at the rookie camp, and those guys will be out there. And they'll be the tryout guys like Joe Andreessen was. And you never know who gives them a spark, who they look at and say, this guy looks like he belongs. And for whatever reason, they decided. They did draft a lot of players. But, you know, I keep hearing this thing that this roster, you know, how are you going to keep this many guys? Well, last year, what'd they keep? 8 on the roster and 1 on the practice squad. And you had a guy that was an undrafted free agent, heck, a tryout guy, eventually got on the 53 in Buffalo Joe. So you never know who's going to pop in that way. This is where you just take as many swings as you possibly can and hope you get fortunate in the later picks or in the undrafted free agents. Because, you know, we say things like, you know, somebody said to me, well, what about wide receiver? Like, where's the guy going to play with this group if you brought somebody in? I'm thinking, last year you brought in Mac Hollins. I thought at best he's a fifth wide receiver and a special teamer, and he ends up being 60-some percent of the snaps and making key plays. Heck, he made the best play in the AFC Championship game. So I guess you never know where someone is going to excel. Who would have thought it's really a loss that Mac has gone from the team this year? So somebody could step in, but right now I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you if the kid in the seventh round is going to show anything. They don't have a great history with wide receivers taken in the late rounds outside of Shakir, I guess, in the fifth. The other guys never really panned out. So let's see if one of them does step up.
Mike, for an industry that does so much research, like, how surprising was it that everybody got the Shedeur Sanders fall completely wrong? A guy that could go number 2 overall, maybe the end of the first round. There he was at round 5, kept us all watching on Saturday, certainly. But your thoughts on the slide of Sanders?
You know, I thought it was an odd thing in the beginning. I think it's typical, like we all talk about, where quarterbacks get pumped up a lot. And you'd say, this isn't a great quarterback year. And the next thing you know, people are talking about them going 1 or 2, you know, 1 and 3 or 1 and 4, whatever it is. I never thought Sanders was that guy. I think once, you know, Tennessee seemed to make up their mind that they were going to keep Cam Ward, I thought maybe he would slide back. I don't think anybody anticipated this. I mean, you're going all the way to the fifth round, a bunch of quarterbacks taken before him. I think it'd be naive to say that it wasn't other reasons behind it. And I don't know. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, all quarterbacks have this confidence and a bit of an arrogance to them. That is true. And I think they need that. I mean, what isn't the famous story that Tom Brady said to Kraft, I'm the best decision you ever made? And it ended up being the best decision, a guy drafted in the sixth round. But normally that isn't said before the draft, and that isn't the perception that teams have. If a guy's a super, look, Caleb Williams had a lot of people didn't like this, didn't like that, but his talent level was at the point that I think somebody was going to take him really early. I don't know if Shador is there. Maybe it'll end up being a good thing for him that he waited till the fifth round. It's an odd circumstance to be in Cleveland, but it's also kind of a wide open job. So I guess we'll find out if teams were really dumb or if he just wasn't that talented of a player. But I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like this with a player dropping that much.
AFC East get a little bit tougher for the Buffalo Bills. I mean, we've been talking through the offseason about New England with Vrabel now, some of the moves they've made, including bringing in Stephon Diggs. Were you surprised that the Jets didn't go with a quarterback anywhere in this draft that they're going to go through at least this season with Justin Fields? Did any of the teams over the weekend catch ground on Buffalo?
Yeah, I think both those teams did, only because they have been so bad for the last few years, and the Jets just were rudderless. You know, and the fact that they told Aaron Rodgers to take a hike and then drafted an offensive lineman and seemed to take the idea that we're not good enough yet and we're trying to build something, I think that made a lot of sense for them. And I think New England seemed to go through the draft saying, we want a certain type of guy in the building. And I think Vrabel has changed a lot of that. So I think both those teams got better. My God, even Miami went on the D-line, though I thought that was early for Grant. I think they all probably got a little better, but I'd say New England is, I hate to say it, but I think they're building something there. Excuse me, guys, but it's still going to come down to how good May is, but they gave him some help, and they're going to be a tough out this year.
Any other teams you liked in this draft? I mean, certainly Jacksonville, boy, poor Cam Ward, his moment of the shine going up to the podium. No, we've got this big trade, Jacksonville trading up, and I don't know if the Jags are going to like turn it around just because of Travis Hunter moving up, but your thoughts on a team outside of the division you thought might have done well here?
Well, that was kind of fascinating if you think about it. I mean, you know, Jacksonville's, let's be honest, is kind of an irrelevant franchise, and I think for them to make that move, it made a lot of sense because he was number one talent, I would say, in the draft. I think most people would feel that way. So I think that was kind of impressive. The Cleveland trading back to that point, like, I think I can see why they wanted more draft capital. I thought for sure then Cleveland was going to turn around and say, we're not taking another quarterback because our plan is to go full on to the next year. Have two number ones, maybe figure out a way to get another one and be able to move up. Kind of interesting. I thought Houston seemed to have a pretty good draft. They drafted a lot of guys named either Jalen or Jaden. If you look at their list, it's kind of wild. I think the Giants is fascinating because, listen, they got a super talent in the first round. They got some pretty good players, but it's all going to be about the quarterback, right? If this is the guy they've decided that he's going to be their guy, that's going to make or break this draft. I don't think there's any question for them. So we'll see where they end up going. But, you know, sometimes it's funny. I look back at a couple of analysis of last year's draft and the things and grades and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, sometimes it can almost seem kind of silly. I get a lot of the grades are based on value, and I totally understand the idea of value in the draft. But, like, if you'd have drafted Christian Benford in the fourth round instead of the sixth, you would have gotten clipped for not using the proper amount of value, but you still would have gotten a really good player. So you can't do that too often, but you got to make sure you get the right guy. Get him at the right time, sure, but you got to make sure you get the right guy.
Mike, since you brought up the Giants, I'm fascinated to see how this plays out, and I'm actually hoping that the Giants do something that would be kind of rare, but if an owner would step up and say, here's the vote of confidence that we have in Shane and Daboll, and going into this season, they feel just a little bit more security than they feel going into this season. I mean, Jackson Dart might be a great player, and it's going to be all about his ability to mesh with this staff, and maybe they get something out of Russell Wilson. I tend to doubt it, but Daboll and Shane going in as dead men walking this season feels like the dysfunction could just continue for the next few years, assuming they don't get quarterback right in New York.
I think you're 100% right, and I think that if you are smart in ownership and you do like these guys and you went into the draft with a plan, I'm always concerned for a team when you have a desperate GM. It's even more so than a desperate coach. If your GM is desperate, you might make a decision that is bad for the franchise, right? So desperate would have been taking that quarterback early in the first round, I would have said, right? No, you got the best player on the board. You got a guy who looks like he's going to be a great pass rusher. You take this kid. You would hope that an NFL team would say, hey, we have a plan here. We're going to take him. We're going to see how he develops. If he doesn't play, he doesn't play. You do the – I mean, look, Mahomes is one of those guys that sat out, but that was from a team that was still a playoff team. This team wasn't very good, but he almost wanted to see the team around him build up because they've had trouble with the offensive line. Maybe late in the year you get him out on the field and then you see what you have and then you get ready for the next year. But you're right. That takes a full franchise saying, all right, guys, there's been a mess. This is what we're doing. And listen, that fan base, you know, after three games, if Russell Wilson's bad, people are going to be calling for the kid to play because they're going to want to see it. Or I guess, you know, depending on what they decide to do. But I think if they're smart, he doesn't take the field until he's ready. You never know. He could be ready a lot earlier than people think. But I think if they're smart and they have a plan, that's what they would do.
Mike, quick thought on the Amherst, and we haven't talked to you in a few weeks, yeah. But I was so pleased that the Sabres sent back Yuri Kulik, and there he helps deliver a game two win. Does this year feel any different than previous years, comparing the rosters and whatnot?
Yeah, I think, look, they're good, and I think Levi having a year under his belt and being in the playoffs, and I think it was, like he said, he was very excited about the way it went last year, but he just, you know, obviously disappointed in the way it finished. I think they would love to see him make a run. I give Kulik, listen, I guess they've talked about this, but you know, this guy played 60 games in the NHL, and then you send him down. But I think he's known it, and I think he's been positive enough to play this way and then gone out and getting that Kulik kind of goal. That's the kind of guy you need to be able to play well in the playoffs. You know the way these Syracuse-Rochester series go. It's great to be up 2-0, but, you know, we saw the Amherst come back, and then last year went back and forth. So be good for them to try to put it away on Thursday. But I think if fans haven't gotten down there, the games are fun. Get down there and watch this team. Hopefully they're playing for a long time into May, heck, maybe even into June. So let's see what they can do. But that's a pretty good team they're putting out on the ice. And we've talked about how even in these other playoff series, they get some older players on the other team, and it's tough to compete. Talent level on that Amherst team is pretty high right now. So let's see how far they can take it.
Mike, what are you and Jenna and Dan working on at Buffalo Plus that we can check out here post-draft?
Well, after the Bean talk on the radio this morning, we got a little fired up and recorded a podcast. It's going to be out in a little while. And listen, like I said to you guys, I'm a fan of Bean. I think he's done a really good job, but I think this is a bit of a blind spot right now in what they're doing at wide receiver. So hopefully down the line things change. We'll see what ends up happening. But we just did a podcast on that, and we'll be talking Amherst hockey all week long, getting ready for the next game. So have a little fun with that.
Mike, you don't have any problem with being, you know, getting hot live on the air, right? Like, I've heard stories of Tom Donahoe calling people off the air, and you people have called Danger and I off the air. Should that have been taken off air, in your opinion?
No. Well, I think the timing was he's sitting there waiting on hold. He catches the end of it and then had a long weekend and then just sort of went off. Listen, GMs, I've had calls from many of them, and you know all the names, down the line for the last how many years when they're not happy with something you do. None of that was on the air. This was a little different. This was a live interview. I guess it could happen in a news conference, but this was more directed on the show live. I know some people appreciate the passion. I don't have any problem with him getting mad. I don't have any problem with him defending himself. I just kind of disagree with the point. I don't think they've gotten Josh enough, but you know, when your quarterback is a unicorn, I guess you just keep going down that line saying they have enough. But at some point, man, get him another guy and let him go to work.
I love it. Mike, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your week.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Catalano, 13 Web Sports. Boy, here we go. 13 Web Sports, BuffaloPlus.com. What are you talking over each other? He didn't hear your Let's Go Mets.
Mets swept the Phillies.
Wait until we get into... Which we get to May, June. Please.
By the way, we're coming up on the week. Are you excited for Thursday?
I am excited. I'm excited to go to Citi Field. I'm excited to take in a Mets game. Yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. Always is when you go to a Major League Baseball baseball game, go to a ballpark.
Do you need any gear? Do you want to borrow any gear from me?
No. No, I won't be wearing any Mets gear. I was actually thinking about bringing my Amerks hat, my Mason Yopst designed Amerks hat. Is that poor form to wear a hockey team cap at a baseball game?
It would be an experiment. See if there's any other Rochesterians that'd be like, hey.
Is it poor form to wear an NFL cap to a Major League Baseball game? Because the Bears have Mets colors. In a way.
They do not.
Blue and orange.
No, that's like a midnight blue with the Bears.
Yeah, I might have something that's more faded, that's more of a...
No,
can't wear an NFL cap to a Major League Baseball game.
I would say better that than a Yankee hat or a Cubs hat or something.
Right, I wouldn't wear a random baseball team to a game where the two teams are playing. It's not one of those two teams. I wouldn't do that. So I just don't know where the line is. Where does if you could be my uniformant here, should the uniform consist of generic ball cap? Can I get away with an Amerks ball cap at Citi Field?
I would think you just want to represent Rochester, right?
Should I wear a Red Wings ball cap?
You could wear, if you got a Wings one, I think people would.
Red Wings ball cap, even though neither of those teams are affiliated with the Red Wings. The Red Wings aren't really...
Dude, you got 65 and so.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
You're going to be perfect.
I know. I'm really looking forward to it. But I do have a little anxiety about the ball cap decision. Red Wings? You're saying Red Wings would be okay?
I think the Red Wings or the Amherst would be just fine.
I'm repping Rochester.
Yeah.
People know, hey, look at that tourist. Look at that guy. He's not from here. Oh, yeah? You're really Red Wings, huh? Where are you from? Not here. Okay. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We have more on the way. We'll continue to discuss Brandon Bean's comments earlier on WGR. We'll recap the draft, not just for the Bills, but for the rest of the NFL.
We haven't even gotten to this story. This real-life jerky boy thing that happened.
I know.
Oh, boy.
I know. We we can dive into...
I've got the prank calls of
Shador Sanders.
Look, there's an obvious point that I think nobody's making on this, and I will explain my viewpoint.
All right. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back with more next. You can join us at 866-4FAN, 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Every morning brings a fresh, new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.